Well, good evening, everyone. Please take your Bibles once again, and we'll be reading from Exodus chapter 25.
Exodus chapter 25, verse 1 to 9. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the people of Israel, that they take for me a contribution. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall receive the contribution for me. And this is the contribution that you shall receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarn, and fine twin linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins, goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the lamps, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and the stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastpiece, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst, exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and all its furniture, so you shall make it." Just so far in the reading of God's word. Let's pray together once more. Our Father in heaven, we praise your name that you are the immortal, everlasting God, that you reign supreme in heaven as Lord of lords and King of kings. We thank you, O God, that you have all authority in heaven and on earth, and we thank you that you are establishing the kingdom of your Son. We thank you that this is established through the preaching of your word, through the proclamation of the gospel, and through the work of your people in the church. We pray, O Lord, now as we once again come to your word, that you would open it up to us, that we might come with reverence in our hearts, recognizing that it has been inspired by your Holy Spirit and therefore is given to us as authoritative and infallible. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us to see the glory of God in the face of Christ, even in these verses, so that your people might be strengthened and that you might receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This evening I want to address you on the subject of possessions, of money, of thanksgiving, and of generosity. How should we think about the possessions that we have and the money that we have? And how should we think about these things in light of what the Lord has done for us? Well, let me briefly sketch to you how the world thinks about these things. They think that if they have any kind of money or possessions, it might be because of inheritance. It probably is because of a lot of hard work that they've done. Therefore, they earn it, and therefore they don't need to thank anyone for anything that they've spent so much sweat on. They think that if they've worked hard for it, then no one needs to receive the thanks but them. But there is another view, and that is the view that we find in the Bible. That is that everything that we have is a gift from the Lord. Everything that we own in terms of money and possessions and everything else comes from our Father above. And if that is the case, then we should be filled with thanksgiving. We should not have the attitude of the world that continually rebels against the Lord in thanklessness, but instead we should sanctify all things through the word of prayer and thanks, because God, as the giver of all good things, has given them to us. We're going to see something about that in this text in front of us. But I want to remind you firstly how we got here to Exodus chapter 25. We've seen that the people of Israel had been in slavery because the Lord had sent them into Egypt, and they were kept there by the Pharaoh until they were enslaved there. The Lord promised that he would deliver them at the appointed time, and he would do so through Moses, his prophet. He did that through the plagues that he had sent against the people of Israel, against the people of Egypt. And after he had delivered them, he delivered them all the way to Mount Sinai, where he made the covenant with them in Exodus chapter 19. He told them about the Ten Commandments, and then he gave them the Book of the Covenant, which was everything from the end of Exodus chapter 20 all the way to Exodus chapter 23. After that, we pick up the story again, where Moses had read the Book of the Covenant to the people of Israel, and now they have said, "We will do everything that is written in the Book of the Covenant." They have agreed to the terms of the covenant, and now the Lord has ratified this covenant with them. We saw in Exodus chapter 24 that Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Joshua, and the 70 elders went up to the very presence of God. And there they had a meal with God. And God had shown himself to them by manifesting his presence to them. But in the end, it was only Moses and Joshua that could enter in further. And Moses was there for six days, and on the seventh day, the Lord showed himself to Moses in this glory cloud. Moses would be there in the presence of God, in the glory cloud, for 40 days and for 40 nights. And here we find that God reveals his presence to Moses. Not only his direct presence in the encounter of God, but also the instructions of how the presence of God is to dwell with Israel once they leave Mount Sinai. That is the instructions about the tabernacle that the people of Israel are supposed to build. What's the first thing that God is going to tell them about the tabernacle? Well, here in this passage, in these first 9 verses, we find exactly the instructions of the first thing that they should know about the presence of God going to dwell with them. And the central thing we need to learn about the tabernacle from these verses is that the gift of the tabernacle, the gift of the presence of God, is to be received by the people of Israel with thanksgiving. This thanksgiving which they have as a recognition that God had given the tabernacle to them as a gift, and that should lead them to have a heart that overflows in generosity. Well, there are 5 things that we're going to learn about this thanksgiving and this gift and this generosity from this passage in front of us. So let me show you what they are. The first thing that we're going to see is that there is a generosity expected. A generosity expected. Take a look at verses 1 and 2. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the people of Israel that they take for me a contribution. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall receive the contribution for me." You see, the people of Israel were to, after this, receive the instructions about how the tabernacle was to be built in exquisite detail about how the presence of God would be with them. But the instructions also include what building materials are required for them. And so it's going to describe for us exactly which things are going to be needed. But here in the first 2 verses, we see that God tells them that these are to be received from the people of Israel as freewill gifts and donations to Moses and the others who will be involved in the building of the tabernacle. This is not the same as the tithe that would be instituted later, that is supposed to sustain the work of the ministry of the Levites who did not receive a portion of the land, and to sustain the work that they were supposed to do in the tabernacle. This was a different freewill offering that the people of Israel were to give to the building of the tabernacle specifically. But what God makes clear here is that those who are to give are those whose hearts have been moved within them. In other words, those who are not giving under compulsion, but those who are giving out of joy. And how will they be enabled to have this kind of joy so that they can give generously of the things that will be required? Well, we'll see that in a few moments' time. How will they have such great generosity if it is such a costly thing that they should give up? Well, that's the first thing that we find in this passage. We find that generosity is expected. The next thing that we find in this passage is that generosity will be costly. Generosity will be costly. This we find in verses 3 all the way to verse 7. Here we find the exact specifications of the things that the Lord expects the people of Israel to give up. The building materials for the tabernacle and everything that is going to be in the tabernacle. Everything from the basic wood and the leather that would be in the courtyard, the poles and the tent that will be made, to the more expensive items that will be in the tabernacle, from the decorating of the Ark of the Covenant with gold, to the gold lampstands, to the altar of incense, to the table of the bread of the presence, to the linen cloth embroidered with expensive dye yarn. All of these things are described in terms of the basic materials that will be used to build the tabernacle and everything that is in it. The pattern for that is in this list for the basic materials will continue all the way through chapters 25 through chapters 31 about the items that will be constructed in the tabernacle. These are not things that the people of Israel have seen in Egypt. These are things that Moses is seeing in the vision as he sees God, the pattern from heaven that he has received so that he can build these things with the exact specifications. But the point of verses 3 to 7 as you read through them is that you find that these are very costly items. In all of these things, as is the case in chapters 25 to 31, the most expensive things are often listed first, and then in order of diminishing expensiveness, the rest of the items are also listed. But some of these items would be so rare and so expensive that they would have been mainly seen in royal courtyards in the ancient Near Eastern world. Specifically, the blue and the scarlet yarn that were supposed to be used to embroider the silk in which the seraphim and the would be pictured in some sense in the tabernacle. Well, this blue and scarlet yarn was made from rare shellfish that was seen very rarely in the ancient world, and therefore it was mostly associated with royal courts. God wanted to use these best materials that would be very costly for the building of the tabernacle. So the first thing that we've seen is that generosity will be required of the people of Israel. Those whose hearts are moved within them, they should give generously towards the task of this building of the tabernacle. The second thing is that this building would be costly. It's expected, it's costly. And now thirdly, we find that this is also generously provided. This is also generously provided. Take a look at verse 8. In verse 8, which is towards the end of this reading, it tells us, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst." The point that God had been showing to the people of Israel from the inception of the book of Exodus is that his desire is to not only continue the covenant that he had made with Abraham, but that he would be with them. That's why they have a foretaste of that as Moses enters into the place where he sees the burning bush. As Moses has entered into the mountain where he sees the presence of God in Exodus chapter 20 and Exodus chapter 19, where the presence of God thundered from the mountain. And here we find, once again, in the description of the building materials for the tabernacle, that God's intention is to be with the people of Israel. But even as they're thinking about this expectation that God has for giving generously towards this building of the tabernacle, and even as they think about how expensive it is, one of the central things that we see is that God is expecting this in light of what he has already done for the people of Israel. And that's exactly why we find in verse 2 that those who give should give generously. They should give out of a joyful heart. They should give out of a heart that is moved to give. What would move their hearts in such a way that they would give up these expensive items? Well, it is simply this, that they recognize that all these things that are required of them has been given to them. We find this first in the burning bush incident in Exodus chapter 3, verse 21, where God is telling Moses exactly what he's going to do in the whole incident of the Exodus. And God says, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty, but each woman shall ask her neighbor and any woman who lives in her house for silver, gold, jewelry, and for clothing. You shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians. This is what God foretells Moses even before he has spoken to the people of Israel. Even before Moses had spoken to Pharaoh, God tells Moses the outcome of all of this is going to be not only the exodus from Egypt, but that they're going to leave wealthy with gold and silver and jewelry. And that's exactly what happens in Exodus chapter 12, verse 35 to verse 36, where we read, the people of Israel had also done as Moses told them, for they had asked the Egyptians for silver and for gold jewelry and for clothing. And the Lord had given the people of Israel favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have what they asked. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. The point of the plundering of the Egyptians was not only that God could foretell the events that would take place before it happened. If you think about how likely is it that a nation who serves as a slave nation under another nation would not only exodus there, leave there, but also leave with all the gold and the silver which the conquering nation has given over voluntarily. How likely is that? Very unlikely indeed. God not only is able to foretell these things, but the point is also that God had given the people of Israel an overwhelming victory over the Egyptians, and thus demonstrating once again his power over the Egyptian gods. But you might scratch your head a bit here, and you might think to yourself, why is all that gold and silver and jewelry necessary? I mean, think about it. The people of Israel are now supposed to travel through the desert. They're supposed to go to the promised land that God is going to give them. Why would they weigh themselves down with all this extra gold and silver and these precious things from the Egyptians? And only when you get to Exodus chapter 25 do you find the answer. That God allowed the people of Israel to plunder the Egyptians for this very reason. That they would be able to build the tabernacle from these precious metals, these precious silks, these precious jewelries, so that the presence of God might dwell with the people of Israel. Here's the point. Those who would hand over voluntarily and hand over from a heart moved within them these precious items of gold and silver, and they would give it up for the construction of a building which they have never heard of, nor have they ever practiced such a building, nor have they seen its like in Egypt. Those who would do such a thing of generosity are the ones who have eyes to see. Who have eyes to see that everything they have in terms of this gold and the silver and these precious items, they've been given to them by God in the plundering of the Egyptians. These are not things they deserve. These are not things that they have earned or worked for. These were pure gifts from God. And so when God has given it to them and he says to them, I want those who voluntarily want to give these things towards the tabernacle to give it, he is testing them once again to see whether they can recognize that God is the one who has given all these things to them. So if you were an Israelite living at the time, you had just acquired a substantial amount of wealth because of the Exodus, and now God wants to see, not only if you have eyes to see that God is the one who gave you this wealth, but also if you're able to recognize that the voluntary giving of these items for the construction of the temple would ultimately be for a much greater end than anything these pieces of gold could accomplish in your hands. they would be used for the construction of the tabernacle, one of the most important structures in the history of the world, where God would dwell amongst his people. That's the point that God makes to Moses in verse 8. Let them make me a sanctuary that I might dwell in their midst. The generous giving here is not only about a thankful recognition that all they have has been given to them by God, but it's also that they would contribute toward this structure which God was going to allow the people of Israel to build in their midst so that God might dwell with them in a special manner as they leave Mount Sinai and go into the desert and ultimately into the promised land. We've seen three things so far about these gifts and this generosity. We see that there was a generosity that was expected of the people of Israel. This generosity, we saw secondly, was a costly thing. But we saw thirdly that that God was the one who generously provided everything that they would need to, in turn, give generously to God. Now we come to the fourth aspect of this generosity. Generosity misdirected. Now, as Moses is up there in the mountain and receiving these instructions about the exact specifications of the tabernacle, he is with Joshua. He has left behind Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders, so that he might enter into this glory cloud, receive the instructions about the tabernacle, come down with these instructions, and allow the people of Israel to have with them always the presence of God that it would be in the tabernacle with them. He had waited 6 days, and now it was the seventh day, and God had manifested his glory to Moses. Moses was in the cloud for 40 days and for 40 nights, and there he would be receiving the instructions about the tabernacle presence of God that he was to give to the people of Israel. But what do we find after Moses was in the presence of God? We see that as Moses comes down from the mountain, he and Joshua hear all kinds of shouts and screams. And they think that the people of Israel are at war. But rather than them being at war, in Exodus chapter 32, verse 2, Aaron had given the people instructions to hand over their gold, their silver, and their jewelry so that he could build for them, he could fashion for them a golden calf. So that he could say to the people of Israel, here is your gods who have led you out of the land of Egypt. This is the one that you must worship. So as Moses is coming down with the instructions concerning the tabernacle, the place in which God's presence was going to dwell amongst the people of God, where there is explicitly no images of God in the tabernacle, the people had used exactly that gold that they had received as a gift from God to fashion for themselves a golden statue, which they said is the image of God whom they worship. That gold, that silver, that jewelry was intended for the building of the tabernacle. Instead, it was misdirected. Instead, it was used to fashion for themselves a golden calf in which they broke the second commandment, in which God showed them that they had been a disobedient people, a people filled with thanklessness, and a people who he wants to wipe out as a result of their sins. The incident of the golden calf matched with the incident that God is giving the instructions to Moses about the tabernacle shows one of the distinctive features of Israel's worship compared to the other nations in the ancient Near Eastern world. In all the other nations, even the nation that the people of Israel had just come out of Egypt, they all worshiped their deities through pictures and through statues. That's why when they came to Exodus chapter 32, they wanted to make this golden calf, because that's exactly how the people in Egypt worshipped. But God wanted to show them the true worship of Him. And the true worship of Him included no images of God. This generosity that they had so willingly given up, this money and this gold that they had so easily given up to the building of the golden calf, was never intended for this idolatrous purpose. It was intended to build the tabernacle in which the invisible God was worshipped. So their generosity was misdirected. We've seen four things about this generosity so far. Firstly, we saw that there was a generosity that was expected of the people of Israel in the construction of this temple. We saw, secondly, that this generosity would be costly of them, because they had to give up some of the most precious items for the building of the tabernacle. Thirdly, we saw that God was the one who generously provided for them everything they needed so that they could give these things up generously. We saw, fourthly, that this generosity was misdirected. It was abused. It was used sinfully towards the building of an idol, which they then went on to worship. And that leads us to the fifth aspect of this generosity. When they finally come to the generosity given, when they finally come to the point where after the incident of the golden calf, they give generously towards the building of the tabernacle, and the tabernacle is then finally constructed in their midst. In Exodus chapter 35, verse 20 to 29, we read how the people of Israel respond with such overwhelming thankfulness to God, that there is more than enough for the building of the tabernacle. So much so that those who are constructing the tabernacle say to the people of Israel, stop giving. Imagine that. Saying, stop giving to the work of the Lord. You've given too much. That's what was happening in this incident. Verse 29 summarizes the story. All the men and women of the people of Israel, whose hearts moved them to bring anything to the work of that the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done, brought it as a freewill offering to the Lord. And then chapter 36, verse 5, says, when the builders came to Moses, they said, the people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord had commanded us to do. So Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp, let no man and woman do anything more for contribution for the sanctuary. So the people of Israel were restrained from bringing for the material that was sufficient to do the work and more. You see, the generosity that was expected of them, the generosity that was costly of them, the generosity which the Lord had generously provided towards them, the generosity that was misdirected in the building of the golden calf, was finally directed towards its proper end, towards the building of the tabernacle. And as the people of Israel were giving generously towards this work, eventually they were giving so much that the builders of the tabernacle said, stop, we have everything we need. You no longer need to provide for the building of the tabernacle. And then the tabernacle was built. Now, how do we relate all of this to our lives? No, I am not going to propose we have a building project and a new building fund in which all of us need to pay generously towards gifts so that there might be a building. But exactly the same pattern that existed amongst the people of Israel should also exist in our lives as well. That is the pattern that we recognize that everything we have has been given to us by the Lord, and therefore the proper response to the Lord in that is by responding in thankfulness to Him. Rather than saying, these are the things that I have wrought by my hand, just as Nebuchadnezzar did before he became mad. Rather, we should be filled with thanksgiving and then overflow in generosity as a result. This applies not only to our money, not only to our possessions, but to our time, and more centrally than anything, to the gift of salvation. When you come to the New Testament, overwhelmingly, the gift, the language of gift and thanksgiving concerns the gift of Christ and the gift of salvation. We are told repeatedly through the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit is the one who is the gift of God, the Holy Spirit who makes us alive unto God and gives us salvation and new life. Paul repeatedly calls the teaching ministry that he has towards those regions where he was teaching the gift of God. The word of God is the gift of God. Paul repeatedly says that salvation, specifically justification by faith through grace alone, is the gift of God for us. He says eternal life is a free gift. And then he goes on to say that all the abilities that we have as a result of this salvation and this eternal life and the Holy Spirit working within us, these are called gifts. And they're intended to be given to others. This gift of the spiritual gift should be given to the edification of others. He calls the financial giving of the church in Corinth gifts that they would give to the church in Jerusalem. But the overarching attitude that each of us should have is the recognition which James recommends in James chapter 1 verse 17. He says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation and shadow due to change. Have you ever wondered why in our culture there is such an anxiety about having more and more? There is such an anxiety about what our neighbor has as opposed to what we have. There is such an anxiety about what we want in the future. But what this passage calls us to is a recognition of what God has already given us. If you look forward and you see what you still want, you might be anxious. Just as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you might be anxious about what tomorrow might bring, where the provision for tomorrow might come from. But if you look back on what the Lord has done for you, not merely in terms of financial provision, but specifically in terms of Christ and the salvation that he has given to you, your life should overflow with thanksgiving to God. He has saved you for himself. He has sealed you by the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he will one day give you that perfect and final glorification which is already promised to us in eternal life, the final gift of being in the presence of God. Well, I'm going to pray for us, and then we are going to sing our final hymn and then participate in the Lord's Supper. So let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, our prayer this evening is that we would not be like the Israelites at the waters of bitterness, at the waters of Meribah, as they were grumbling against the Lord for the things that they so desired within their hearts. But instead, I pray, O Lord, that you would make us a people that are supremely thankful as we think that the greatest gift of all has been given to us, the gift of your Son. And if you have given us your Son, how much more with him will you not give us all things? Lord, we thank you for the gift of everlasting life. We pray that we might see these things proportionately in comparison to everything else, that our hearts might overflow with thanksgiving and with generosity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.